Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn 836. Believer, lift thy drooping head, thy Saviour has the victory gained. See all thy foes in triumph fled, and everlasting life obtained. 836.
Read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was light lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren, that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And let us pray. The most gracious, the holy, eternal Lord, oh, we must fall under thy mighty hand and put our mouth in the dust. We may drink the wine of astonishment, but help us to realize it is but a taste of the gore that thou didst drink for thy people in thy great suffering. And thus, Lord, we venture at this evening hour in the day of the remembrance of thy rising from the tomb. And thus we desire to worship Thee in that newness of life. O Lord, leave us not to look to the surroundings and the discouragements and the sorrows. There are plenty of those and worse, but enable us to pierce through all things and to rejoice in what Thou hast made known to our poor, poor breath, our poor, never-dying souls, our needy hearts. Oh, Thou art full of mercy, full of compassion, and Thou art to right to be in anger with us. Help us to feel this to be true, and help us to, as many as I love, oh, what a word, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Oh, that we might hear Thy voice in all Thy dealings. Lord, to Thy people there must be ever a prospect before them. There must be ever a love upon all Thy dealings, wise and good, cross, though quite contrarious. So enable us to fall into Thy hands and have mercy on us. As we come now, and may we see no man save Jesus, Lord, and all that the men, whatever may be poured in scorn upon our head, do help us to bear Thy reproach, and press toward that mark for the prize, and what a prize. Lord, our never-dying souls, what a mercy to be led by love, to escape the wrath that is to come. A word not used much in our circles, the wrath which is to come. And there is a wrath to come upon all flesh. Do have mercy on us, we pray. And may we find that a safe city of refuge wherein the avenger cannot enter. Even in the side, the wounds, the blood of the Lamb. So thus help us and lift us up unto Thee amidst all the sorrows and the discouragements. Unto Thee, to Thee who are spoken, irrevocable. Irrevocable is Thy word of grace. Our Lord, our God is not a man that He should lie. Hath He not said, shall He not do it? Or will not make it good, Lord? Do help us to believe, as they're not sworn. Do make it good for us. Cause Thy promise to be fulfilled. Lord, we're always looking in the wrong direction. Do enable us to look to Thee with that singleness of eye and heart. And Lord, do help us to know that Thou art with us and to feel it. So, Lord, do come then and remember us now in mercy. And do set our affections on things above. And do bless us now as we meet. Do remember this house of prayer. Remember the dear friends. For those in deep waters of affliction and sorrows, we understand. Do be very gracious and merciful to one another. Thou hast been merciful to some and spared that's brought thus far, and that is, Lord, the way of life thus far, thus far. Thus far Thou hast led Thy people on, thus far. But it is the end that we have in view. May we be brought through honourably, desiring to depart, to be with Thee, to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, do bless Thy people here, with a prospect beyond this earth. It is a vital matter, a prospect beyond the grave. We are poor and needy. We see no further than the present scene. But all faith looks beyond living faith. May we know the Lamb of God has gone before us. Remember Thy people here, and do grant those healing mercies to bring safely through. Lord, thy people are taught something, to come and to cease from all man, and to rely entirely, completely, utterly, dependently upon thee. And thus we lean upon thy word. Oh, remember us in mercy. We deserve thy judgments. Bless thy people in affliction. Put forth those healing hands of mercy, bowels of compassion. Bless Zion, bless thy servants, bless the ministry here. Bless all friends in pain and suffering. Remember those who plough a lonely furrow. Remember the Sunday school. Bless the instruction to them week after week. May thy fear be in our young men and women's hearts. Go before them in the journey of life. And may they fear thee and be led of thee, brought to the throne of grace. Remember those near the end of the journey. Draw near and touch their heart and be gracious and merciful unto them. Remember all those in the midst of days, the cares, the responsibilities, the anxieties, the perplexities of life. May they roll and cast their burden upon thee. Bless Zion, bless thy servants. Remember those laid aside in affliction and distress. Oh, be with them, we pray thee. And bless Zion and bless thy servants. So we pray, remember each on the walls of Zion this day, the editors of our magazines, the secretaries of our societies. Oh, save us from just the mere traditions of formality and legal fear. Oh, we pray, come loose thy weeping, tender, exercised, bowed down people, and bring them forth unto thy marvellous light, and in due time into thy immediate presence. Wash away our sins, blot out our transgressions, lead us to the fountain, lead us to the cleansing, lead us on by living faith. Remember us in loving kindness and mercy. Remember all with a special care, special need, perplexities, an urgent case. And neither know they what to do, may their eyes are upon thee. So remember one and another, we humbly pray. Now, Lord, what wait we for? We fall into thy hands. Remember us in the nation, have mercy on England. Bring us as a nation to repentance. Bless thy one church in the earth, the missionaries where thy name is feared. Thy word is read, and give us thankful hearts, softened hearts, tender hearts, hearts that recognize thy hand, hearts that kiss the rod, hearts that love thee, that wash thy feet with their tears of pleadings and joy, and Lord, and with thee, a flowing forth of love from the heart. Oh, do move us in mercy and save us from all the coldness of formality, and exercise our hearts tenderly in thy fear. And may we walk depending on thee, as poor and needy as we might be. We thank thee for every mercy, bless thee for every mercy. Oh, the daily supplies, the abundance of them, thy great goodness. Lord, answers to prayer, helps by the way, many of them. Lord, it's more than we deserve. We bless thee for thy mercies, particularly those mercies, the gospel mercies. Lord, the our high priest above, the blood of the everlasting covenant, the word of God, the doors of the sanctuary open, the throne of grace. Oh, the blessing of the abiding of the Holy Spirit. Not that we claim anything, but Lord, thy people are subject to mercy. Open their eyes to see it. They are subject to mercy and to leadings of the Spirit, wherever they might be found. So remember us and give us praise in our hearts for all that thou hast made known, whether we consider it little or large. So remember us and bless us. And as the special cases, the special needs, and every heart here. Now let our words be few. And Lord, now do gather us together, remember us in mercy. Grant the Holy Spirit, who is sufficient for these things. Grant the word of eternal life. May we hear thy voice, the voice of our beloved. We humbly pray. Lead us to the fountain continually, for sin and uncleanness, such are we. Such are we in daily defilements. May we ever look to the daily manna and bring us to the washing continually. We ask in thy worthy name and all things, pleading mercy in Jesus' name, that all prevailing name. We plead mercy so often, even without mentioning the Lord. But what a mercy to be brought. Oh, to look to the fullness of suffering. Oh, may we enter into the fullness of darkness and distress to consider him in all things, what thou hast endured, and we may know the sweet truth that we are set at liberty. Loose him and let him go. We ask in thy worthy name and for thy sake. Amen.
Hymn 486. See from the dungeon of the dead our great deliverer rise, while conquest wreathe his heavenly head and glory glads his eyes. 486.
dependence upon the Lord, I would draw your attention to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 28 and verses 5 and 6. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay. Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6, And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay. What brought the women to this tomb? What brought them, dear friends, what brings us to the throne of grace? Two things, we may say, our own need and our own case, and the hope of his mercy. But here you see, there was no hope of any appearing. We may go to prayer, we may go to the throne of grace, and we may hope that the Lord will give us something, speak and help us. We go to confess our sins. You see, here these women, he was gone. Gone, and yet they still came. They still came. So what was the motive of bringing them? Was it not love in their hearts to him? What brought that love? Was it not the gracious words to which he spoke to them of? Was there not mercy and healing in his hand? Was there not compassion in his heart that they had heard and known in days past? Now let us consider it tonight. There may be those among us who have known much mercy, much help, much compassion of the Lord in the past, but now the Lord of life is gone. He is silent. It seems he's no longer with you. It seems he's removed the light of his countenance far from you. Yet, you still go. What a mercy. Still going to the throne of grace, as these women going to the tomb. You know, dead. Silence. It was a real death. Mind you, I have to say, from a principle of doctrine, he was put to death in the flesh, or he died in the flesh, as the Apostle Peter speaks in Paul. It was in the flesh. You know, they did not seem to have completely in their heart, in exercise. No doubt they could call to remembrance of the disciples on the Emmaus Road. No doubt they would call to remembrance of what the Lord had said to them. But those things that the Lord has said are not always in view, are they? But you see, they are drawn by love, and yet to the place where he lay. Friend, there will be no miracles there, no more mercy. Yet there is a going back, sometimes in experience, to just remember what he has said. And yet, how solemn to feel that the life of it's gone. There's a remembrance of the Lord, but it seems his life has gone. There's no more power. There's going to be no more answers to prayer. His life has gone. And yet, oh, they must go to where he was last laid. And there go and weep. And so forth. And then we read, of course, they brought spices and so forth. And so forth. I leave that for the moment. But you know, the angel of the Lord. The women said as they went, who will roll us away the stone? Friend, who can roll away all the stone and the barriers that separate our hearts from God? You know, he can and he will. He can and he will. I know it's easy to say that. We don't always feel it. But you know, that is grace, and it must be so. It must be so. What a word, fear not ye. Here the angel said something very remarkable. I know that ye seek Jesus. God's knowledge. God's knowledge, where you are tonight, I know. You know, this is the angel of the Lord. We're not told which one it is, or anything, but we read of one, we read of two, and so forth. We leave that part. Friends, just to know the Spirit saith to our heart, I know that ye seek Jesus. But first of all, fear not ye. You know, dear friends, a religion that is one of fears these days, particularly among a younger generation, is not understood, you know. It's misunderstood. And I believe it's because there is a lack of the teaching of the majesty and holiness of God in our lives. That he is holy. And older ones are despised because they're told that they have a religion of fears. And we've only got to believe. Dear friends, don't you fear your own heart? Well, you're on a different wavelength than me if you don't. Do you fear your sins? Do you fear your heart? Do you fear the Lord? He has every right to arise and deal with us as we deserve. But you know, they come fearing he's gone. Will they see him again? Trembling. This is a mingled fear here. I come to the fear of the women. A mingled fear. You know, how could they go on? They had relied on him. Soul, you're relying on Christ, aren't you? You're relying on the Lord for every help daily. And if the Lord of life has gone, you've got nothing left. You know, we read this. There's a set of Zion these days, a withholding of the Spirit. Friend, if the Spirit was really withheld, we'd all be in despair. And I mean it. It's a lot of, I'm sorry, but I don't agree with all that I hear in my hearing. I don't agree with it. There is a withholding, but that is not God's fault. If only we'd search our hearts. If only men of position would, instead of criticizing others, would search their own hearts. And not pick on others. That'll make a lot of difference. That's the grieving of the Spirit. If the Spirit is really withholden, we are being deep waters. He is not withholden. He's not withholden. He's not withholden if you're seeking him. He's not withholden in Zion. If you weep over your sins, dear Lord, may I a mourner be over my sins and after thee. That's the way of life. Fear ye not. Fear ye not. What a mercy to need a fear not tonight and to be seeking it. You know, the Lord said this, seek and ye shall find. And if you're seeking a fear not from him tonight and earnestly and you weep after it and you give him no rest till he grant it, dear friend, he will grant it. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Now, why, friends? It's not just some unknown safety. Friend, with the presence of the Lord, there is cleansing. There is a sense of mercy. There is a sense of compassion. There is a sense of help. Friend, there is a righteousness that draws nigh to thy soul. Oh, the deep mysteries of the Holy Spirit in how he works in the heart. Friend, they're past finding out, but his dear people discover them amazingly in the deepest of waters sometimes. I am with thee. You know, why should the Lord be with you? You can't work it out, can you? You know, but he dwells. I do love it, you know. I cannot but be at a wonder. This man, this man receiveth sinners, receiveth them, receives them. Friend, he receives them as sinners. He doesn't receive them because they've suddenly not become sinners and they were sinners. He receives them as sinners. Do you know the secret? I wonder how many of us really do know that truth. We're always trying to get ourselves ready for the Lord, aren't we? Always. You watch your heart. It is right when the King cometh to bow our heads and to acknowledge, put our mouth in the dust, to confess our sins. All those things are right. Receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Friend, if he didn't receive them, we'd never know him. If he didn't receive us, it's his blood that cleanses, and no work of ours. It is no work of ours. It's his precious blood alone that makes an answer, and his water from his side that does the cleansing, the water of life. Receiveth sinners as they are, and eateth with them. I rather take that eating with them rather in Matthew's sense, when he went into Matthew's house and there sat at table and communed with them and so forth. Do you need a fear not? Do you need a fear not tonight? May the Lord speak to you in your circumstances. Fear. Fear not. Fear not. What did I quote at the Sunday school? For the Lord thy God shall hold thy right hand. Saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Friend, you want to feel it. You want to know. But it's a venture of faith. Oh, may the Lord give you a little light on it. A little light on it this night. I, the Lord, will hold thy right hand. The Lord thy God shall hold thy right hand, saying unto thee. That's compassion, you know. That's compassion. That's full I will help thee. No, that is a mercy. I will help thee. Well, the angel says here, I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. John brings forth Mary Magdalene, in particular, at the tomb of Jesus. And she saith two angels in white, one sitting at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto woman, why weepest thou? Woman, why weepest thou? What is thy weeping? What is thy weeping? Why weepest thou? Oh, you think, dear friends, I don't feel that the Lord has quite forgiven my sins, and I tremble. I want them all forgiven. I don't feel that the dominion of sin has been totally broken, and I can't understand why it's not been broken. I believe I've had a little glimpse of the Lord, and yet I seem to be as wretched as ever. That might be another reason. It might be that the Lord has been so silent to me, and I believe he's weary of me. You know, do we count the Lord like as one of us? I tell you what wearies the Lord. I've said this many times. Not your weeping. Weeping at the throne of grace doesn't weary the Lord. I tell you what does silence. Silence from his people wearies him. Heart wandering wearies him. But not cries. You know, you can't wear the Lord out with your tears, you know. He has wept. I might have said these things on Friday. He's wept far deeper than your weeping. And he understands your weeping. Oh, the angel says this. But you know then, she saith unto them, because they've taken away my Lord, I know not where they've laid him. Poor Mary. Complete misapprehension. You know, a trembling heart is not understanding the glory of Christ. And who can understand this side of the grave to any fullness? Friend, the person in this chapter has had the greatest blessing, the closeness to Christ. We still fail to understand the glory that is to come. Because we're in flesh. Dear Mary, love, friend, the motive here is love, you know. That's the one thing that is very clear. How whatever she was feeling, however she misunderstood, however afraid she was, however sorrowful she was, there was one power of life in her heart. She clave to the Lord. Soul, is that your cry this night? Dear Jesus, come, I long for thee. Have compassion on me. I think of Hezekiah's prayer. There's everything in it. That one statement, O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Love was in her heart. There's love in Hezekiah's heart as well, you know. We love him because he first loved us. I said that at the Sunday school. Friend, you may not feel the Lord loves you. And you feel you want to love him. You want to love him. If only you could. And you don't feel you can love him properly until he loves you. My dear friends, the Lord's got it the right way round. He brings you first to love his word and love his ways. And to love his commandments and see them right and confess your own sin. Often before he makes his love known to you. But he will, but it doesn't mean he doesn't love you if you're drawn. What a mercy to be drawn to the Lord Jesus and an empty place. Do you know, I've often thought like this, that empty tomb, you know, she must have felt everything was empty and gone. She couldn't even find a trace of him, apart from her napkins, which did her no good anyway. She longed to just get a glimpse of his face once more, though gone, though dead. Think of it. And some of this was not according to the law either. You know, there she goes, with the spices and so forth. You know, which is, you know, the touching of a dead body. It was forbidden. But love moves, venturing through love, despite all the law says against you, all the condemnation in your heart, to venture by love and drawing. Friend, if only Mary had understood his dying. She didn't understand it. I'm not saying she didn't understand it at all, but it doesn't seem the disciples had any clear understanding of the shed blood, the water and the blood. Remember, John wrote his gospel and the others when he had risen, when they'd been anointed by the Spirit. You know, they all forsook him and fled. Dear Peter, and so forth. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Partly because of a new appearance, although he was still in the flesh, yet now he was beginning to be glorified, I do believe, not glorified as John saw him in heaven, but now he was risen. But you know, also through her tears, her misapprehension, her fear. Jesus said unto a woman, why weepest thou, whom seekest thou? She didn't even seem to know his voice, the voice of her beloved. She didn't. So poor was Mary Magdalene. So poor. Do you feel sometimes you can't tell the voice of the tempter or the dear Lord? Yeah, it's a solemn place. It's a fearful place. But it, you know, his dear people get there sometimes. They don't know whether it's their own voice, some unknown voice, or the voice of the Lord. But dear friends, if it's the voice of the Lord, it had an effect on you. It'll bring you to weep to his feet and ask for confirmation and the sealing of the Spirit. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Ah, the Lord asks why she weeps. Think of the Lord's tears. We read of it this morning, his compassion. I didn't perhaps go into it much, but you know, there were the dear ones he loved, Martha, Mary, Lazarus. And they were hardly believing him, and the Jews saying all sorts of things. And sorrow, that high priest, the son of the only begotten son of the Father, the son of God, there weeping in sympathy and sorrow himself, feeling their anxiety in compassion. Now, friend, that's Jesus that we preach. Touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What are your infirmities tonight? You know, do you believe it? Touched with the feeling of them. Now look at your infirmities. Look at your fears. Look at your heart. Can he really be touched? You see, our poor faith, the trial, the trying of your faith. Friend, it seems almost as if, how can these things be? How could Christ be touched with the feeling of my infirmities? Are you seeking him? Are you crying to him? Are you going to him? Are you looking for him? An empty place. You know that empty place I want to come to. But first of all, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She's supposing him to be the gardener. Sir, if thou hast borne him thence, tell me where this where hast laid him. I will take him away. Christ is now risen. He's no longer in the veil of humiliation. We must remember this. The present scene of the resurrection is the beginning of his exaltation. The veil of humiliation is past. You see, but he remembers what he's passed through. He's now exalted. This is the beginning of his exaltation before he ascended on high. You know, we right down to the last breath, it is finished, was the veil of tears, the veil of humiliation for him, the veil of suffering. Now he's risen. Now he's risen. And he just says one word to Mary. Mary. Jesus saith unto her, Mary, I know thee by name. I know thou art mine. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. It's a word for someone. I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight. I know thee by name. Graven thee on the palms of my hands. Thy walls, thy borders, thy sorrows, thy affairs are continually before me. Continually before me. Friend, what a gospel. Do you know, that's true, friends. God forbid I should convey anything else. Absolutely true, friends. Your walls. I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm telling you it's so. You may not feel it. You may not feel it. You may say, the Lord of my, last my Lord, the Lord of my life has gone. You may feel he's gone. Thy walls are continually before me. All weeping souls' walls are continually before him. And she turned herself, said Rabboni, touch me not, I am not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and so forth. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Think of the disciples on the Emmaus road just briefly, how they walked and were sad. You know, it's a blessed gospel. There's these two walking sad. Friends, are you sad? Perhaps there's a husband and wife sad and talking of all past blessings and all the sweetness of the gospel that has been made known. And now, oh, how sad you are. How you fear. But you know, you will be like these two because you'll be saying, but, oh, there were those among us who went to the tomb and told us that it appeared and so forth. You do hereby report. You do hereby report. But oh, you want to feel it yourself. You know, the compassion. You know, the Lord knew they were walking. The Lord knew where to go, friends. It was appointed. Do you believe your trials are appointed? I don't want to... We're down here. The Lord has that glorious overview, that glorious purpose, that glorious final view. But we're underneath. We're under oppression. A man that's under oppression can't see far. We're under the oppression of sin, an evil heart, besetments, and cares and sorrows. Jesus himself drew near himself. Friends himself. You say, but I don't feel that's true. I believe I've heard his voice. I believe I heard a whisper. Dear friends, it's the voice of your beloved. Here he was in the flesh. Now his spirit draws nigh. Cannot be seen. But how did they know him? He asked them, what manner of communications are these of one to another walk as you said? And they talked to him, what things and how they go, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Then did they go on to say about this third day? Now listen, what I want to come to is this. Oh fools, and slow of heart to believe. You know, can I ask you a question? Does that describe you? If you're in that verse, you're in the rest of it. Oh fools, and slow of heart to believe. And what else does he say? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Should there not be an empty tomb? I want to come to that empty tomb. What a mercy there's an empty tomb. Friends, what a tremendous mercy is an empty tomb. Ought not Christ to have suffered? Friend, there's my hope. God forbid that he shouldn't suffer. He must suffer. He has suffered. He has suffered. Suffered the just for the unjust. Suffered for our sins. Ought he not to have done so? Yes. He's died. He must die. You know, the very thought of the Lord Jesus dying, it must have been awful to the disciples. Friends, in a sense, it's awful to some of us. When we think that it's our sins. Friend, what a mercy. I don't want to sound presumptuous. I don't want to make light of things. You know, what if the Lord didn't die for your sins? What if your sins weren't laid on him? What if it were your wicked heart? Ponder it. Friend, what if your wicked heart has not been, your wicked life? Think of the anger in your heart you've had in your life. Think of how you've been too determined to do what you want to do. Oh, the sufferings of the Lamb are terrible. Sinner, thou hast done the deed. Thou hast made the Saviour bleed. Justice drew its sword on me, pierced my heart to pass by thee. Ought not Christ to have suffered? Friend, what if he didn't? I'll leave that one with you. What if he didn't? Don't you long to know he did? Don't you long to know it was your sin? As bad as it is. Glorious truth. You know, it is finished. It is finished. But you know, and enter his glory. To enter into his glory. And this is the purpose of his rising. Come. He is not here but risen. He is not here but risen. You know, those women, are they looking in the wrong direction? Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? You know, Hezekiah to say, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Hezekiah, the sentence of death within himself. The Lord told him to set his house in order and he would die and not live. And he turned his face to the wall and prayed. And look how the Lord turned. Look how the Lord told Isaiah, go back. You come, sir. Isaiah, go back. Go back and tell him, I've heard thy prayers, I've seen thy tears. You know, Saul, that's verily true of every seeking heart. I know you want to feel it, but whether you feel it or not, it's absolutely true. A soul that seeks the Lord. Friend, the God of fullness. When I was, children were younger, I used to try and, I might have told you this before, but when they cried at night, I was so weary, I got to get up early in the morning, and I'd just see if my dear one would get up before me, but she'd be sound asleep, so I'd have to get up as, and I used to get up and say, as I walked through the room, to their room, Lord, I arise to my children's cries. Attend to mine. Attend to mine. I used to say this sometimes in the middle of the night. Lord, thou canst hear me, because if I went outside the front door and began to curse and swear, thou wouldst hear me, Lord. Surely thou canst hear me cry to thee. Surely thou canst hear me. Friends, he does. He does. He does. I've heard thy prayers. I've seen thy tears. What a sacred truth. And the Lord knew that Hezekiah would not give him the honour and glory afterwards. Did you know that? Do you want a description of grace? Look at Hezekiah's case. Great mercy, great blessing, great healing, spared his life. And he knew he wouldn't give him the glory. That's eternal love, friends. That's eternal love. That's eternal love, friends. And that's how you'll get to heaven. By grace. By grace. By grace. But you'll be brought to seek it. You'll be brought to cry for it. You'll be brought to cry very mightily for it at times. Very, very mightily for it at times. Now that's the Lord. That's God's love to Hezekiah and to all his people. You know, it's a great mercy. Were there not 10 lepers cleansed? Where are the 9? It's a great mercy to return to give glory to God. He did, Hezekiah did in his song. The living, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. You know, the church is a living church, living souls. Thy dead men shall live. With my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. With my dead body shall they arise. It is so, friends. And that's what I want to come to the empty tomb. And, you know, the glory of baptism, I'm not intending to speak on baptism as a precept and so forth, but I want to just speak of it more doctrinally. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You know, what a mercy to be able to walk in that ordinance with that gospel hope. You know, we're showing forth a sign that when he died, we died to all claims of justice with him. Do you understand that? A believer that dies in Christ has already died with him first when he died, mystically. It is so. Do you understand it? I'm sure some do. I wonder if all do. The glory, what that baptism brings forth. He died. Justice had no claim. Soul, a believer that looks to Jesus' death as for forgiveness of sin, for the power of life, and to long for him. Friend, there's no claim of the law upon him because he's dead. When a man said, I think in the next chapter, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. You've come dead to the law by the body of Christ, a glorious death, a glorious rising, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God, and so forth. And he says here, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, the like as Christ has raised us up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we should walk in newness of life. If we've been planted together, this is true doctrine. The church has died mystically in Christ already and been raised. Thy dead men shall live, with my dead body shall they arise. It is so, friends. And the profession of baptism is the showing forth of that gospel hope made known to you. Made known to you. Made known. Sweetly made known. But that's why we as a group of churches call it believers' baptism. They believed and they were baptized. Dear friends, and their household with them. Look, the Philippian jailer, his house believed. The children weren't baptized because mum and dad were baptized. God forbid, the house believed. And so forth. If you look carefully in the Acts of the Apostles, baptism, household baptism, was because they believed. Not because the parents were baptized, therefore the children ought to be. God forbid. Oh, they believed. Even the children believed. The offspring. It's a glorious truth. The resurrection. Walking in newness of life. Behold where he lay. He's not here. He's not here. Now there's a purpose. Thou hast ascended on high. Can you say so to the Lord tonight? You may not be able to say it, but do try and sing it if you can a little at home. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Led captivity captive. A peculiar expression. Friend, all your captivity is sin. Wickedness, the wicked heart. He's led it captive. He's got it. In other words, it's the avenger on the oppressor. Like the nations were judged, typically, the Chaldeans that were in God's hands a judgment on Judah, yet God judged the Chaldeans because Judah was his people. He led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. You know, what does it mean, that peculiar expression? How could he receive gifts for men? Friends, the gifts of faith, the gifts of life, the gifts of rising. Friend, and all those spiritual properties of a believer has. A gospel hope, a rising, a newness of life, faith believing. You know, these are sinners. And I tell you what, and you say, are they? Oh, the text tells us they're sinners. Yea, for the rebellious also. Have you blessed God for that word? Do you know, sometimes you come across a verse and there's just a clause in it. Your heart's overwhelmed with wonder. He finds you where you are. He's even received gifts from men for the rebellious also. That the Lord God might dwell among them. That the Lord God might dwell among them. Friend, how could he dwell among us had he not received those gifts within himself to give us the forerunner, the forerunner, the forerunner? You know, it's a glorious truth. I do love that in Hebrews. I will just tell you, I might have quoted it before, but it's very true. He speaks of the covenant, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. He's made the covenant not with us, but between himself and his Father, and we, he our representative for us. Christ the Son, surety for his people, in covenant engagement with his Father, to bring them home and acting for them, bringing them forth, that's where they'll bear the fruit. What a mercy. This is the covenant that I make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I put my laws into their hearts, in their minds will I write them. See, the covenant made between Christ and his Father is the covenant. He will bless them and bring them through, put their laws into his heart and work in them for good. And he's undertaken with his Father to do it, and he makes his people known. He makes it known to his people. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I was drawn to that portion in Micah today a bit, you know. It's a lovely word. Who is a God like unto thee? Friend, who is a God among all the gods of the heathen and the gods of this world, if they're so-called gods, that would become man and bear their iniquities? You know, deity veiled in flesh, a glorious truth, friends. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? He pardoned it within himself. He pardoned iniquity within his own suffering, his own self. Hence is the ground of union with him. And he makes that covenant known what he's done. When the Lord passes by and says, live, thy sins which are many are forgiven, is because he's already done it and he's making it known. He's letting you know the glory of that covenant. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Friend, what a favour, what a mercy, if you're led to plead the forgiveness of your sins. You're on the narrow way, the one way only, to repentance, a great gift of God, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his church. Think of Hezekiah I mentioned just now. You know, when he didn't honour the glory, the Lord threatened him. He said, all this is going to be taken away. The Chaldeans have come. I won't do it in your lifetime. The compassion of the Lord. Friend, he spares us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered us up for us. He spares us, but spared not his son. Friend, he spares you, wretch. He despairs you, you wretch. But he didn't spare his son. That's love. Pardon passeth by. Oh, friends, we almost fear this can't be real, can't we? We feel, how can these things be? Passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Friend, he didn't pass it by and ignore it. He took the curse upon himself. That's how he passes by us with it. He retaineth not his anger forever. And I love the next clause. You know, it's a wonderful thing to think the Lord doesn't retain his anger forever. I tell you, there's something deeper. This is his glory, for he delighteth in mercy. God delights in mercy. That is his glory, delights in mercy. He will turn again. You know, friend, he will turn to you. You know, go home and plead the gospel. Go home and plead his word. He will. Lord, hast thou not said thou wilt turn again? Oh, turn to me, O Lord. Turn again, O God of hosts. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. May the Lord bless that little passage. But this word here, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. No more offering for sin. It doesn't mean your sins are not going to be forgiven. They've already been forgiven, seeker. It's to discover the truth and the blessing of it that we so need. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. That holy estate of the light of his countenance to receive life by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way. Friend, a living way. New to me. New to a poor sinner. Oh, Jesus made precious is a new blessing in it, is a new life, a living way, a real way, working in us, life working in us, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. He's consecrated this in walking and going before us. Friend, through the river, rising again, ascending, and having an high priest over the house of God. Listen, you may not get higher than this. What a mercy if you don't. You'll still be favoured in soul. Having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Friend, full assurance of faith in its fullest meaning means you're doubting not at that hour the Lord blesses you. But you know, friend, I tell you one thing. Are you sweetly persuaded there is life with him, although you've not felt it? Are you sweetly persuaded that thou, Lord, see how Peter was so persuaded. Will thou also go, Lord, to whom shall we go? Well, there's a glimpse of assurance of faith.
Not assurance of faith necessarily that Peter's now favoured beyond and he's almost in the third heaven. Not that, not meaning that. He's assured thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and assure thou that Christ, the Son of the living God. Where are you going to go, friend? Are you, friend, assurance of faith? Lord, help me. Help me, have mercy on me, bring me through, Lord, undertake for me. Lord, if I were to commit a sin now, they'd mark it. Thou, I know thou canst hear me. I know thou canst hear me. Lord, I know thou canst hear me. He does. He does. We want the assurance that he is. We're poor things, you know. We're poor creatures. We're jolly big in our boots, you know, friends. We're too big for our boots sometimes. But we're poor creatures, and we're made to know we're poor, that he is exalted. A little child, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Friends, you won't unless you become a dependent, teachable child, submissive, meek, waiting for him. Like a maid looks unto the mistress and a servant unto the master. Having our, well, this would be nice, wouldn't it? Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Dear friends, however does a man know that? As Jesus is made precious by faith, as Christ is made. Friends, don't look for an experience outside Jesus, looking unto him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Friend, it's longing, oh, as he's made precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe is precious. Friend, it doesn't mean you're going to be greatly favoured in soul. Quietness, tenderness, humility, poverty of spirit. Friend, the more you feel your poverty of spirit, the more he'll be precious to you. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish we did more. If we could understand it, though he was rich, if only we understood those riches, yet for your sakes he became poor. Your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Well, I will have to conclude it now. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. What a mercy be said of this night. The Spirit may witness, I know ye seek Jesus which was crucified. Friends, perhaps you're looking for him in your life, but he's not here. He's gone to heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place, friend, can you bless him for not being here? Now making intercession for us. Making intercession for the saints. Able to deliver them to the uttermost. The uttermost. Able. To the uttermost. Saved to the uttermost. Able. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Risen in newness of life. Oh, may we feel risen in newness of life with him.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £600, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Broom is expected to preach on Friday evening and next Lord's Day, and we hope he will address the Sunday School in the afternoon. And he also hopes to administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 751. The Saviour lives no more to die. He lives, the Lord enthroned on high. He lives triumphant o'er the grave. He lives eternally to save. 751.
Convey us to our homes in safety and peace. We ask in thy worthy name and for thy sake. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each now, forever. Amen.